The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Derek Dorch of the Diversa Group, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dorch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for joining us. We are always glad to have you. Going to have a great show today. One of our regular guests is joining us, Evan Lesser. He is the founder and director of ClearanceJobs.com, always providing us some great insight on what's going on with the cleared job market. We've got a couple of new topics that me and Evan are going to be talking about today. One thing that's really happening that is really, really taking a rise about how do cleared people deal with social media? You know, how do you handle that? I mean, you know, if you're a cleared professional, should you have a Facebook? Should you have a LinkedIn? And if you do have these social media tools, how do you handle yourself? I mean, there's not a lot of guidance on that. Today, we're going to be talking about that and much, much more. Welcome, Evan.
Derek, thanks. Good to talk to you.
Evan, you know, we're seeing this. I know you're starting to see this more, but social media is, it's not a new thing, but it's becoming more and more prevalent. But it's also something that's getting a lot more people who are government, clear professionals, law enforcement. It's starting to get a lot more people in trouble. What are you seeing out there in terms of social media and with clear professionals?
I think for one thing, it's an ever-changing playing field. Just yesterday, I was reading that if you look on LinkedIn, who is the number one employer in terms of the most people for that company that are on LinkedIn, and it turns out that the U.S. Army is number one. So
oh,
the
wow.
U.S. Army has over 350,000 service members or employees of the Army that are signed up on LinkedIn, number one employer. And, you know, it really kind of opens up people's eyes to the fact that, you know, LinkedIn has a kind of a stated goal of gathering as much information from people as possible and distributing it across the web as much as possible. So it really kind of flies in the face of someone who holds a security clearance who's supposed to be more private, but yet at the same time, you know, you're looking at a networking site like LinkedIn that is really working hard to make sure that your information is spread across the web to the people who might be interested in seeing it. So there's a big discrepancy there.
You know, when we hear about this, I mean, what's your suggestion? I know on ClearanceJobs.com, you do have a dynamic where people can kind of set up profiles, and there is a kind of a social media feel, but it's behind almost that firewall, and because it's only for clear professionals. LinkedIn, Facebook, and other places is really kind of open for everybody. I mean, there is no real dynamic. You can set certain settings, but people can see, you know, and I oftentimes see a lot of intelligence professionals. I see, you know, people say, I work for DOD, I work for Defense Intelligence, I work for U.S. Army, I work for these agencies. What's your guidance on that? Should people have these sites? Is that helpful for their career, or is it hurtful?
Well, what's interesting is if you take kind of a little bit of a step back and you think about social media and mobile phone usage and what it's done to people's expectations around communication, it's really changed the way that people interact and the way that people receive information and digest information. We've really been tracking the fact that messages are coming into groups and people shorter, faster.
Mm-hmm.
Messages have to be actionable, that people have to be able to respond to them. They have to know exactly who sent it. And that is really, you know, a trend that we've been paying attention to. And if you think about SMS texting really taking over email as the primary communication force, that's something that as a human resource professional, as a recruiter at a company, you have to keep in mind if you're sending emails to candidates only and expecting the type of response that you'd get, you know, a few years ago, it's just not going to happen. So on one case, you've got people that have very different expectations about communication, but at the same time, you've got the need for security-cleared people to be private, to keep information to themselves, to know who they're talking to. And the two things kind of don't always mesh and match up. Also, you know, keep in mind that people on the web these days understand that with just a mouse click or two that they can connect, like, or follow a person, place, or thing, or a company so easily. And that ability for people to get up close and personal with something or someone or some entity is really kind of the norm. And again, it's sharing a ton of information about someone or something very quickly. And you know, the question is how does that mesh with a security cleared person?
You know, with all of that, and you're kind of hitting it right there, because it, on LinkedIn and other places like that, a person can really find out a lot of information on a person, right? And we have the whole counterintelligence dynamic. Is, you know, is a person who's trying to connect with me, can I verify that they're, you know, not a Chinese agent, or not a Chinese, they're trying to recruit me for something, or they're trying to find out information for something, they're trying to find out a project that I'm working on and everything else. But then at the same time, like you're mentioning, the dynamics of recruiting, because, you know, it has expanded our networking dynamic, because now you can reach out to somebody who you didn't know was working on another project because you saw them and they have some similar interests or similar research areas, and you can reach out to them very, very quickly and be like, oh, wow, we didn't know. Is there a need to create more of a cleared LinkedIn, you know, where it's not as open? I mean, you know, like your dynamic, is that the solution, or what is the solution?
Well, you know, keep in mind that on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter, which are, you know, kind of the big three of social media, that the majority of their audiences are not U.S. citizens. So on LinkedIn, about 62% of the registered, I think it's up to 350 million users, are not U.S. citizens. On Facebook, 83% are not U.S. citizens. Twitter, 73% are not U.S. citizens. So as a cleared professional, you're kind of caught between knowing that you have to market yourself, you have to brand yourself. You know that employers and recruiters are going to be checking out these sites and Googling you as they consider you for a position. But at the same time, knowing that if you put out too much information, it can be seen as a negative. I think LinkedIn is really the site to pay attention to more than anything, because the information is more professionally focused.
Right.
Some recent articles have shown that social media is kind of the front line for cyber espionage. And you mentioned China, and there have been more than a number of articles and reports that have come out that state that people on social media are being targeted by Chinese government officials as well as others. So the question comes up, how much information should I share on LinkedIn? I need to brand and market myself. That's important. But at the same time, I can't put out so much information that I make myself a target.
Right.
And what we can talk about a little bit is how recruiters are now seeing someone who puts a whole lot of information about themselves on LinkedIn if they have a security clearance.
I want to get into that, and definitely as we go into the next segment, you know, and as you look at it from that perspective, because you mentioned about LinkedIn and the professional side, but let's even kind of talk about the personal side, where Facebook and Twitter and things like that. Do you see, because that a lot of times people have those personal Facebooks and Twitters with family pictures or pictures of them partying or other things like that. Are we still seeing a dynamic of recruiters looking at, you know, trying to find people's Facebook sites? And are we also seeing on the espionage side where people are really kind of digging in and trying to find a person? Because you can tell a lot by a picture. You can get a lot of information from a picture. You can find out family members, who this person's connected to, you know, all these other kind of dynamics. Are those things being looked at as well with people's Facebooks and Twitter sites and other things, Instagrams and all that?
Yeah, most definitely. So there's a couple of issues at hand with regards to a more social site than a professional site like Facebook. And the first issue is that, is there anything that I can take a look at on your public Facebook profile or Twitter profile or some other social profile that I could use as some type of leverage against you to coerce you into giving up classified information? Are there photos or videos or some type of information out there that you would probably not like the wider public to see? So, you know, there's that aspect. And then there's the the aspect of, you know, if I'm trying to brand myself, if I'm trying to create a brand for myself or market myself professionally, what does my Facebook profile do to either help or hurt me? And employers, as you know, they do check out Facebook and other sites to try to figure out information about you to determine if you would make a good hire. And I think the key thing to keep in mind is that once you put some type of information out there, whether it's a piece of text or a photo or a video or a blurb or something that you liked or someplace that you linked to, it's out there.
Right.
You know, it is out there.
And you can't take it back. You can't take it back because a lot of these politicians are tweeting and deleting them, but there are people grabbing that information and then reposting this stuff.
Exactly. I mean, once you put it out there, even if you delete it, it's still living out there in cyberspace. So as a cleared professional, as just a professional in general, I have to try to figure out if, you know, am I posting something that could be used against me either as an uncleared person? Is it going to be used against me professionally? Is it something that would cost me a job or cost me from getting a job? And as a cleared professional, am I posting things that could either deny me a job or, more importantly, deny me a security clearance, I think, or at worst, put me at risk for being some type of a target for coercion.
Hold that right there, Evan. We got to take a quick break. We're talking to Evan Lesser. He is the founder and director of ClearanceJobs.com. You can find him at the site, ClearanceJobs.com. Great site for clear professionals, whether you have a confidential all the way up to a top secret SCI, poly, and everything else. It's a site that you need to be on to basically kind of find both government contract jobs, but also government jobs, people who are looking for people with clearances, whether it be Intel, technology, or wherever the case is. We're talking about social media and the impact on a security clearance professional, whether you're on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or whatever you're using, YouTube, whatever you're using. What's the impact on security clearance professionals, and how should you be conducting yourself? Later on in the show, we're going to be talking about some new employers who are entering the clearance space and who you should possibly be taking a look at to get hired with. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we are having a very, very interesting discussion about social media. This is impacting all of us. You know, social media has been a positive thing because we've been able to get a lot of information, share a lot of information very, very quickly. But for those who are in a security clearance environment, if you're working for a Department of Defense, an Intel agency, a contractor, or something like that, or you're looking to even get into one of these agencies, what's the impact on that? A lot of people have Facebook pages. A lot of people are using YouTube these days. A lot of people have Twitter accounts and Instagram and everything else and LinkedIn accounts. But how should you be using this? If you should be using this at all, can it help you or hurt you professionally? We're talking about these issues today. We're talking to Evan Lesser. He is the founder and director of ClearanceJobs.com. You can find him by the site ClearanceJobs.com. If you're a clear professional, it's a site you need to be on to make sure that you kind of find those jobs. And it also has its own kind of secure kind of social environment where you can network with recruiters and network with other people who are cleared. So you want to be on that site to find these jobs, but also build up your network. Evan, in looking at this, you were mentioning something about how recruiters are looking at information these days. And we talked about kind of Facebook about, you know, do you have information on there that can help you or hurt you? I mean, whether it be photos. And we've always heard about people who have kind of photos of either you drinking much or partying too much, maybe photos that seem to have shown too much of your body parts or things like that. And those things can truly hurt you. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, there's really two things to keep in mind, and that's job suitability and clearance suitability. Mm-hmm. So security clearance investigators and HR professionals are looking at your social media presence. And like it or not, they're making judgments about you and about how suitable you would be for a particular position or to hold a security clearance. So, you know, obviously pictures showing you going wild at a bachelor party are fine to share with your friends, but if they do get out into the more public domain, if they are searchable by a security clearance investigator or by a human resource professional recruiter, you know, that can come back to haunt you, not just with regards to you know, job suitability and is this someone we really want working for us, but you know, looking at their judgment, is this someone that we would want to be holding a security clearance? You and I have talked a fair amount, Derek, about the notion of insider threat being really one of the key topics that's being discussed in the world of cybersecurity. If you think about a service like LinkedIn, it's very, very common for people to get on LinkedIn and to very publicly state who they are, what government agency or contracting company they work for, what clearance they hold or have held, polygraph information. LinkedIn will show them coworkers. It'll show locations as far as where you've worked, lots and lots of information. And aside from being an intelligence gold mine, what it does in the eyes of a human resource professional is it's starting to make them kind of open up and say to themselves, you know, wow, if this person is sharing this much information on LinkedIn, could they be the next insider threat? You know, they're not holding their security clearance to the level of importance that it needs to be if they're, you know, this publicly displaying all of their information to the world of LinkedIn. You know, what are they going to do once they're on the job? Is this the next insider threat?
Right. This is what people need to hear. I mean, in terms of, you know, because I think there's that confusion there, and things are happening at hyper speed, right? You know, I mean, you know, Snowden came out and took everybody by surprise, and then you're talking about there's more information to release and everything else. And sometimes I don't think the security clearance information has come out to people about guidance on what to do. What are your tips?
Well, you know, I think, you know, the first thing to keep in mind is, as a cleared professional, you really need to kind of rein in your LinkedIn profile. You have to look closely at what you post and ask yourself, are you putting yourself in a compromising position, and try to figure out how to brand yourself yet respect your security clearance. So, you know, redaction is something that we're encouraging people to do on public profiles where they are letting people know about their employment or work history. It's perfectly fine to state, I'm working on a project for a certain government agency. I can't give the full details, but here's a broad overview of what I'm doing. What that does is it gives the employer enough information about you in order to consider you for some type of position. But at the same time, it actually shows that you respect your security clearance. You respect the authority that's been placed in you and the trust that's been placed in you with that clearance enough to not just publicly shout out from the top of the hills, here's my clearance and here's my coworkers and here's the programs I'm working on.
Right.
So careful redaction of information on a public profile is definitely something to consider. The other thing that we've not touched on today, Derek, but we've talked about a little bit in the past, is if you are on a professional or social site like LinkedIn or Twitter or Facebook, you should regularly scrutinize the connections, friends, and followers that you have. A lot of people will go into LinkedIn. I don't know about you, but I get, you know, 10, 15 LinkedIn requests a day. And one, you know, someone's first initial reaction is, I don't have time to look through all these incoming friend requests. I'm just going to approve. But you don't know who those people are.
Right.
If you are getting connections from non-U.S. citizens, that's something you have to pay a close attention to, not just for your own personal security, but for the security of your clearance. You should be self-reporting any contact you get from a foreign national.
Right.
And that does you know, include a social site where someone asks to be a connection, asks to follow you, asks to be a friend.
Evan, hold that thought, because I want to go into that into a lot more detail, because there's a lot that goes into that in terms of, you know, people connecting with you and you knowing, you know, who this person and validating who this person is. I think that's a very, very important point that people, because that can also impact, you know, again, clearances about who you, you know, who are you connected to? Who are you talking to on a regular basis? I mean, what kind of information are you revealing? And you could be revealing something without even necessarily knowing you're revealing something, you know, to a person. We're talking to Evan Lesser, So we're talking about the impact of social media for CLEAR professionals. Should you have these LinkedIn accounts? Should you have the Facebook accounts? Should you have the Twitter and the Instagram and the YouTube accounts? And if you do have them, how should you be using them as a security clearance professional? How do you make sure you keep yourself, you know, acting in a way that's professional, that shows that you also are concerned about the information that you're giving out, and you're trying to make sure that you're keeping what you do safe and secure, and don't make yourself a target for people who are trying to spy on you, trying to spy on the country and everything else. We'll be right back after this break. You listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we are talking about a really, really important topic, social media and CLEAR professionals. There's a lot of people out there with security clearances, everything from confidential, secret, top secret, top secret SCI, top secret SCI with a poly, and everything else. And but we also have everybody who wants to be on Facebook. We also have everybody who wants to be on LinkedIn. People are saying, listen, I want to engage with my family members on Facebook. I want to talk to other professionals on LinkedIn. But how do you do this and have a clearance and not violate some of the practices of operational security? How do you do this and remain in a way where you keep yourself safe? How should you do this and also stay in the eyes of recruiters as a qualified candidate? We're talking about these things today with Evan Lesser. He's the founder and director of clearancejobs.com. It's a site, a job site for all CLEAR professionals. They run a number of different things, but you can find both government contract positions as well as government positions on there. And if you CLEAR professional, they have a number of great career fairs, great advice, great tools on there that you can use on the site. Evan, you were mentioning something really, really important about scrutinizing, self-reporting, scrutinizing connections. And the one thing I want to bring up is, you know, and I'm sure you've seen this, Evan, there's a number of people who are faking who they are on Facebook, on LinkedIn. So you never know if you're actually talking to it could be a Chinese spy who's faking like an American who's trying to connect with you.
Totally. And, you know, there have been a number of cases where someone has posed as an attractive person and targeting members of the opposite gender.
Right.
And just based on a profile photo that is you know, somewhat risque, you know, is something that the likelihood of someone accepting that friend request just goes up dramatically.
Right.
I mean, it's basic human nature, obviously, but as a CLEAR professional, it really puts you at a risk. So, you know, when you do get a connection request from someone on a social site, or if someone starts following you on Twitter, or if you get a friend request on Facebook, or a new connection request on LinkedIn, you know, you really need to scrutinize who that person is and take into account what is it going to look like if I have some type of connection with this person. Now, the government has not come out with a whole lot of guidance or policy regarding who you connect with on the Internet, but, you know, good operational security should just tell you to really know who that person is before you connect with them. And keep in mind that as a security clearance holder, if you get a connection request from a non-U.S. citizen, you should consider reporting that to your facility security officer or SSO. If you join some type of an online group and there are non-U.S. citizens in that group, it's something to keep in mind. Those connections stay with you. And as a CLEAR professional, you don't want to open yourself up to some type of situation where someone can know more information about you than you'd like to be, you know, in a smart way, revealing.
You know, with these groups and you know, because there's a fine line between outreach and networking, and then kind of going, and then, you know, people will kind of also think, you know, well, this is kind of my privacy. But I guess as a CLEAR professional, what we have to realize that if you want to be in this business of working in national security or intel or homeland security or whatever the case is, the privacy dynamics of some of the things you do really kind of go out the window, and that just has to be understood. Is that correct?
Oh, that's very much true. And I think something that you mentioned before our last break was really astute and kind of ring true with me is the fact that sometimes a CLEAR professional, when they're online, they may not know it, but they may be releasing information about themselves unknowingly or unwittingly. And this is something that you mentioned. And a really good example of this is Twitter and Facebook. So by default, when you send a tweet or when you post something to Facebook, it tries to include your location and exactly where you're at, whether it's just a city or a state, or whether it's an actual physical location like a shopping center or a workplace or library or something like that. So what people have been understanding now is that when you take a number of months of data about your location, you know, an intelligence professional can very, very quickly plug that data into even a spreadsheet and quickly realize, here's the 5-square-mile radius where this cleared professional is spending most of their time.
Right.
And a lot of people don't realize that when they engage with people on social media, when they post certain types of content, whether it's a piece of text or a video or a photo, in many cases, in most cases these days, it's all geotagged and geolocated, and that you could be unknowingly giving information about yourself away, where you work, where you spend the most time, to someone who, you know, may not have the best intentions for you.
That's right. And a lot of the sites, you know, for government are not always disclosed. I mean, me and you know that there are many sites around D.C. and around the nation, around the world, that you don't know that there's government operations in those buildings. They look like plain buildings or plain whatever the case is. And, you know, but inside there's a lot of things going on, but it's not posted out that this, you know, is this agency's operations or things like that. So you could be revealing, especially if somebody's, you know, kind of monitoring you and they know that you deal with certain things and you've put a geolocation unwittingly, you know, unknowingly, you put that out with a Twitter or whatever, a Facebook, like, you know, because Facebook also does that as well. It tries to put a location when you post something, you know, as well. And, you know, I've even seen with now Google, you can also see the route. You know, Google monitors, if you have your account up logged in, it monitors your travel routes sometimes. You know, if a person happened to get into your account, they could see exactly where you have traveled to in terms of driving or other things like that. So there's a lot of things that these social media accounts and also this mobile phones and everything else is starting to do.
Exactly. And I think, you know, thinking back just a few years, some of the government agencies and contracting workplaces said, you know what, we can alleviate some problems if we simply don't let people bring their mobile devices into
the building,
the workplace. Mm-hmm. And sure, that sounds like a great idea. But what happens, and I think just general intelligence 101, is that people who have their mobile devices and they can't bring them into work, they leave them in their car. Mm-hmm. So what generally happens, if you look at the pattern of activity, is someone pulls into a parking space, they spend 5 or 10 minutes on their phone, and during that time period, location information is tracked. You may like a certain post. You may post a comment on Facebook. You may do something on Google that notes your location. And then oftentimes we'll see another surge of activity around 12, 1 o'clock. People leave the building. They get in their cars. They go to lunch. They check their phones. And then you'll see the same activity in the 5 or 6 p.m. time frame.
Right.
So people are not bringing their phones into work, and you know, in some cases, and those organizations think, oh, we're protected. But at the same time, it's really, really easy for someone who's out to do something nefarious against someone with a security clearance to very quickly take a look at this location data and understand, okay, this person without a doubt works here, because
right.
Location information and posts are showing, you know, certain time frames. It's very easy to put together that type of information. So it's really important for cleared people to realize that even if they don't post things, even if they don't specifically state what they're working on and where they're at, the social apps that they are using could be gathering data about them, and that data is always able to be accessed by somebody.
If you're a person who's really at that level of kind of higher level clearances and things like that, is it more advisable that you kind of, you know, kind of have a blackout dynamic in which you really kind of think about, hey, listen, maybe I don't need to be on these accounts, or maybe, you know, I mean, I've got, you know, some more of the higher level clearances. I've got this, that, and the other. Is that more advisable that you kind of pull yourself back a little bit and you kind of do your networking and other things like that in a more discreet fashion?
Well, and that's really where the gray area comes in because, you know, professional people understand I need to network.
Mm-hmm.
Most networking happens online these days.
Right.
But at the same time, I don't want to make myself a target. And I want to show employers and the government that I respect my security clearance. So there really is no guidance from employers. And I think people say just use your common sense. But as we've kind of talked about with the fact that, you know, you're being geotagged wherever you go by your mobile phone and some of the apps and things that you use, you may not always know what, you know, the common sense response is.
Right.
Unfortunately, you know, if someone came to you and said, well, the easiest thing to do is just don't be on Instagram.
Right.
Don't have a YouTube account. But as our kids are growing up with the internet from the day they're born, you have to be on Instagram.
Right.
You need to be a friend or a follower of your child. You know, being on Instagram or Facebook is the easiest and most effective way to keep in touch with
right.
with family members.
Right.
You know, sites like Twitter save lives every day with the information that is distributed out there. So, you know, it's really a gray area, and that's why I'm glad we're talking about it today. Even if you think before you post, even if you Google yourself regularly, there's just no definitive guidance as a cleared professional what you should and should not be doing. And unfortunately, common sense will only take you so far.
You know, I want to just mention this before we go to the break. But, you know, in that dynamic, I mean, if you do kind of put yourself off everything, you will also lose context because a lot of sources are coming through open source. A lot of sources are coming through, you know, a lot of information. A lot of agencies are using these sites to disseminate information. So, and like you said, I mean, if you have children or other things like that, there, you know, a lot of stuff is on YouTube. You need to know what's going on, because if you don't know what's going on, then that can also be a detriment to you.
Exactly. And you know, social media is not just about socializing. It's about doing our job. So,
right.
You know, cybersecurity professionals learn about the latest threats in real time from Twitter.
Right.
People who are software developers or engineers pick up tips in on online forums that they frequent. Emergency response people totally rely on Twitter to get messages out to the public about some type of threat or threat prevention. So, you know, these social sites are not just about being social. It's about doing our jobs. And as cleared professionals, we're one of the few groups of people that this type of situation is something that, you know, really makes you question on a daily basis. Is what I'm doing on the web something that could come back to harm me or harm my security clearance or harm the agency or company I work for in the future? There are really very few segments of the U.S. population that have to ask themselves this on a daily basis.
Hold on 1 second, Evan. I want to kind of, when we get into the next segment, I want to talk about these new employers and also talk about the career fair as quickly as possible and kind of talk about this, because we can talk about this all day, but I do want to get to those other topics that we wanted to talk about. You listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Evan Lesser from ClearanceJobs.com. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch from Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We've been having a great conversation about social media. If you haven't dialed into it, you need to go back and listen to it. If you're a clear professional, you need to understand social media and the impacts, the good impacts of it, but also the detriments of social media and how to use these things correctly in terms of your work and making sure that you keep yourself protected and make sure you keep your professionalism protected and your job protected and your country protected. So make sure you dial into that kind of piece and hear that. Go back, go online, listen to it, and then find out that information is going to benefit you. We're talking to Evan Lesser. He is the founder and director of ClearanceJobs.com, but we want to kind of change the conversation from social media and talk about some new employers who are entering this space right now and now starting to look for clear professionals. Evan, who are we starting to see? I mean, some of these people who we've always known, but now they're starting to look for clear people. Who are these people?
Well, you know, it's interesting. When you think about security clearance jobs and security cleared employers, you tend to want to focus on the Fortune 500 defense giants, Lockheed, Boeing, Raytheon, Northrop Grumman, SAIC, CACI. You know, these are all the companies that most people think of. But, you know, really, if you look at where the expertise is in certain segments, cloud computing, mobile computing, cybersecurity, It doesn't fall necessarily within those defense giants. It comes to Silicon Valley. So as far as new employers that are getting into the government space or have been in the government space and are really starting to pick up things, what we've seen on the ClearanceJobs site are companies like HP, Dell, Google, Microsoft, Amazon has a huge, huge government business. It's more of the traditional tech companies that you wouldn't necessarily think of when you think about security cleared positions.
You know, with all of them, I mean, are Google and Amazon, are they starting to see the government space as a space that they want to, you know, I mean, well, and I know Amazon really kind of has blown up on the private sector with this cloud business, and Google is definitely spending their business sector dynamics. But are all of these companies trying to really get into this space and kind of see government as the next horizon? So they want to kind of increase their services in this market?
Totally. And there are really a few primary initiatives that I can speak to. I think the first is how is the government trying to be more efficient? Budgets have been cut over the past few years, so how can they use technology to save money? And a lot of that is revolving around cloud computing and storage, and trying to make sure that data is accessible from multiple government agencies and doesn't have to be replicated over and over. What processes can we put in place from a technical standpoint that can make government organizations run better? So there's a very large consulting business out there with these tech companies that come in and can show a government agency how to use technology to make themselves more efficient and to save money over the long haul. The second big area is with data analyzation. So I think, you know, one thing that everybody probably already knew, but without a doubt knows now from the NSA debacles over the past year, is that, you know, the NSA and other government agencies are gathering just massive amounts of information. And how is that information getting stored? How is it being accessed? How can we make sense of this data that's coming in? And from an intelligence perspective, just because you have the data doesn't mean that it's doing you any good. You have to be able to sort through it, scan through it, pick out the key pieces. So companies like Google and Microsoft are really at the forefront of search technology and helping government agencies try to get to the bottom of all that data. And then last but not least is cybersecurity. It's kind of been known for a while now that the best cybersecurity gurus are not sitting in a government agency. Most of the best cybersecurity professionals are in companies like Microsoft and Google and HP and Dell. These are people that have not necessarily worked for government, but they are the leaders in cybersecurity. So the government is looking towards these Silicon Valley companies to help them with cybersecurity as well. So there are a number of different fronts that these companies are in. But for someone that's looking for a job in the cleared marketplace, they probably need to go beyond the Fortune 500 large defense firms and start thinking about the Silicon Valley firms as well.
You know, with these positions, and it's interesting you mentioned the cybersecurity piece, and I know we're going to have to come back to it because we ran out of time, but I read an interesting article in National Defense from the National Defense Industrial Association. They mentioned that there was an article, I believe in that magazine, there was an article that was talking about that some of the best cybersecurity people, a lot of the schools are teaching the basics, but some of the best people are not people necessarily coming out of the school and learning the basics. It's the people who have actually done cybersecurity, and you know, and school can only teach you so much, but a person who either is hacked or a person who has prevented certain things, that practical application knowledge is something that's lacking from in the industry. I mean, are you hearing that?
Yeah, without a doubt. And I think the government is doing a great job at trying to set up universities and even high schools for that matter as incubators of cybersecurity talent. We know that there's a huge glut, and that we need people now. But I think they see that the future is even more difficult, that we're going to need people for a long term. So the government's really done a great job, especially the Department of Homeland Security has done a really good job at setting up education programs at the college and high school level to set up, you know, a training for young people to kind of get into this field for the future. But what that doesn't do is really address the current needs. And industry as well as government are really looking towards some of these huge tech firms to provide that level of expertise for cybersecurity right now.
I wish we had more time, Evan, because we always have so much to discuss. We have to catch some of this stuff on the next one. We're going to always catch back up with you. But if you need to know about social media and security clearances, if you need to find out what's going on in terms of who some of the hiring firms are, you know, Google, Amazon, Dell, HP, other places like that who are getting into this government sector, this is where you begin looking. Go back, listen to the show. Evan, we're going to definitely have to have you back to catch up on what's going on. I know you guys got a lot of clearance jobs, career fairs going on and everything else. For those who are looking in the market for a clear job, clearancejobs.com is a place you should be taking a look at. Evan, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks so much, Derek.